This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, BGS. Happy Friday. A few minutes past 6 p.m. Man, I've got a packed weekend.
Oh, yeah? Tell us about it.
Oh, okay. Tonight, going to the ball game. Tomorrow morning at 9:45 a.m., I have to be at Worldwide Technology Raceway to do the Indy ride-along. I showed Rach and Wiggins a YouTube of someone doing what I'm going to do, and it looks crazy.
It looks scary.
Yeah, like Wiggins said, are you in real danger? I'm like, well, I'm in an open cockpit car going 180 miles an hour on a track. Yes, I think I am.
I'm surprised you're in an open cockpit, because I don't know much about racing, but I thought they had you in little cages in those things.
No.
Don't certain cars have that, though?
Yeah, most cars. Like NASCAR, they have roofs and cages, but no, not Indy or Formula One.
Roofs. Well, have fun. I have no desire to do anything like that. I'm a scaredy pants when it comes to that sort of thing. In fact, right now, I put up on the DGS blog, these guys went skydiving and then they bungee jumped during the skydive.
Now you're just being dumb.
This is the first ever recorded instance of this.
Because it's douchebag.
The video is kind of cool. I don't know. I guess one of those things were not extreme enough on their own, so they needed
to
combine.
I'm surprised God
them.
Didn't smote them just out of pure, like, referred embarrassment, like when you're in a high school play and the hair on your back, your neck stands up because they suck.
How do you bungee jump and skydive? You bungee jump out of the plane?
You skydive out of the plane, and then they were attached together, you know, how you do. And then they released with a bungee cord, so one of them, like, bungee jumped off the other guy's chest.
You know what I want to do? I want to jump out of a plane and also have a live cougar jump out of the plane at the same time and then fight the cougar in midair.
Man, you know what was cool?
By cougar, I mean older woman.
At Parade Town on July 3rd.
Is that a real place?
Yeah, we did a remote from there, and your band played from there.
I don't remember that.
I think it was the Army Corps, like, did a sky show, and they sky dove out of a plane. It was awesome, because we were right there where they were all landing, and they were all landing on the target, and they had their parachutes, and it reminded me of the beginning of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie, which was dope, and it was just amazing. I really respect people who can do that. I am very impressed that you're going to go be in the car tomorrow and go 200 miles per hour, but I'm happy watching from the sidelines.
I might drive.
Well, have
like
fun.
I might just tell my guy, hey, just you get in the back.
Why don't you try to do that while you're driving?
Switch me.
So what's the most exciting adrenaline kind of thing that you would absolutely do? And I'm not trying to be funny here. Like, Ferris wheel.
Oh, yeah, I would do a Ferris wheel.
Roller coaster.
I don't really like roller coasters. I could do, like, the mine train.
Would you?
I can do a roller coaster. I just don't want to. It hurts my head. I don't find it to be fun. Now, I haven't done one.
You're like Trump in the Bible verses.
Well, I haven't been on one in 13 years. Like, not since I was...
Would you whitewater raft?
A youngin'. I have whitewater rafted, and it was a blast. And the reason I liked it, we did it on our senior trip, and I just followed the rules.
Yeah.
And when you follow the rules, you're safe. Now, there were other kids in my class that were not paying attention.
Rapscallions.
They were not paying attention during rule time. And then whenever the waters got choppy and dicey, they started freaking out. And I was like, you should have listened.
How many scamps drowned?
No one drowned, unfortunately.
That's too bad.
That reminds me of a real lesson called The Three Little Pigs. You know, one of those pigs followed the rules.
That's true. And that pig was me.
What happened to the other ones?
I don't remember. I wish I did.
In the stories I knew, they all retreated to the brick house.
Yes.
Yeah, they came running
the
like bitches looking for Mr. Rule Follower to save them.
I'm gonna ease into this thing and build a real cheap house. But then when the time comes and I have to have my comeuppance, you don't have to pay for it. They just run into the guy who did all the work.
I have not thought of the three pigs in a long time. I love my mom and dad. They're good parents, but they didn't like read me stories like that, so I was not really exposed to them until grade school. And so all the other kids knew them by heart. And I was just sitting there with my mouth wide open. And I remember thinking, this is not only entertaining, but there's like a message. I don't know if you guys are getting this, but I think there's one smart pig here.
What did you think of Aesop's fables when he got to those? Too preachy?
I don't remember any individual ones that were Aesop's.
I believe the tortoise and the hare is an Aesop fable.
Okay.
There's
I'm
one about a lion.
The Bugs Bunny one.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bugs Bunny pretty much just did Aesop's fables.
Okay. Well, then I know them all.
There was one with a lion with a thorn in its paw.
I like that one.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think there was one with a little girl, and she went to sit on some soft chairs and some middle chairs and some hard chairs.
I know that one, too.
Goldilocks?
I don't know what her name was.
This is how much of a dork I was. I loved to read so much, and I remember finding an Aesop's Fable book at a bookstore, and I read it recreationally instead of at school.
There's nothing wrong with that.
It was awesome. I love
you
to read.
Be proud of
are
that.
You still a big fiction reader?
I love fiction. Actually, Sue just lent me a book that I haven't
Sue
started
in a book
yet.
Club.
Essentially, yes.
It's a lame book club.
I haven't started it yet, but it's about like the art industry. She had read a book and she was like, "You have to read this." And it sounds lame, but it was an incredible novel about like Dutch painters in the 15th century. It was thrilling.
Was it a porn?
There was a lot of raunchy scenes.
Nice.
You just throw in a little raunch. I could probably sit through the.
Why don't
yeah.
you and Sue start
part.
The DGS book club?
We could. I've talked about it on the show.
Yeah, you should do it.
All right.
Put it out there and have people.
It's extra work, but. Okay. Let's make Sue do it.
Just get Andrew in with you. Like, you pick one, she picks one, he picks a pop up book. You know, just.
What's the work? You're already reading the
too.
Book.
You
isn't
gotta, like,
the hard
post
part?
About it. You gotta like make
find
a blog
the cover
post.
Of the book.
No, we could do that for sure. That'd be fun.
You guys gotta pick a little bit more interesting fodder.
I know that that one's definitely not for everyone, but I love to read like the big thrillers of the decade or whatever. Like I loved The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. I love The Girl on the Train. Basically, if it's about a girl, I'll read it. Gone Girl. Wow, there's a lot. No, I love fiction. I prefer that to nonfiction. And then I meet people like Dave. You don't really like fiction at all, right?
I love it, but I'm constantly disappointed by it.
Okay.
Like I usually make it through about a tenth to a quarter of a book, and
problem. You're not reading the book.
No, but once you disappoint me, once I roll my eyes at it, it's hard to get me back.
I got one for you.
All right.
You'll love it. It's called We Are Legion, We Are Bob, and it's a fiction book. And you are going to love it.
It sounds awful.
It's about a
most
guy.
Most things you talk about liking, I would hate.
No. It's about a guy who signs up to have his body cryogenically frozen.
Mm-hmm.
And that in the first chapter, he dies. So the rest of the whole book is what happens to him and his body after he's dead.
Okay.
And it's really interesting.
What's the Mel Gibson movie about he cryogenically freezes himself?
Forever Young.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
Me too.
So great.
So good. Man,
it's so hot
when
he comes back and he's really young and attractive and she's super old and they're about to get it on.
It sucks that Mel Gibson is like an abuser because I really loved his movies in the 90s and the 80s. And now it's like he kind of ruined it with his like, you know, whole screaming.
How does everything start?
What did I do?
You said I was mean.
You said I was mean.
What did I do?
He's not an abuser. He was in the movie What a Girl Wants, right? Or whatever that was.
No, that's an Amanda Bynes film.
Oh, yeah, Amanda Bynes. I always get my
thinking, she's
there.
The abuser.
You're thinking of What Women Want.
No, I'm thinking of... I always just get Amanda Bynes and Mel Gibson confused.
She was Braveheart.
That's another celebrity.
That's what I thought.
Amanda Bynes' story is horrifying. What? She's like not in the business anymore. She got really into drugs. She was crazy. She would tweet insane things and people would make fun of her online until we all kind of collectively realized, oh, she is extremely mentally ill.
Wow.
So now she's kind of out of the industry and whenever she tries to speak and stuff, they like won't publish it because it's so dire. It's
what
so
was
bad.
Her big role?
She was on in all that. She had the Amanda Show. I think that's what it was called. She had a show called What I Like About You that I really loved as a teenager. What a Girl Wants was her big movie. She's the Man. If you could tell, I was a big Amanda Bynes fan as a young woman. Preteen? I don't know. But yeah, it's really sad. She like cut all her hair off and put in these weird she kind of did a Britney Spears, but then there was never an upswing. Mm. She just kind of stayed. So
this will tell you a lot about my TV career, but we tried to get her in a show once just because we targeted people who had completely fallen off the map.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Well, the sad part is
she was so off the map, we couldn't even find her.
The part that's crazy is she was so, I mean, she had her own show on Nickelodeon, and it was a sketch show because she was so funny. She was so charming and quick, and she was really, really talented. And then to see someone's mind just kind of completely fold in on itself, and all of that humor was gone, and then it was just like a shell of a person, really rough to witness, even just as a fan.
You should reboot that show and try to get close on.
I don't know. Can we find him?
Good luck.
I mean, he's blocked you guys. How am I supposed to get to him? No, she was weird because, you know, all these people who've really fallen off, and this would include people like Michael Richards. You know, people who just, they're not getting, they're
I would
huge,
watch that show.
They're,
you know,
huge names, but they're not
the
getting cast.
You say the N-word a couple of times, and then it's like no one wants to hire you anymore.
People who have been blackballed from Hollywood, they're begging to work, and they're huge names. So it was perfect for us because we're like, well, we can't pay you a lot, but we can get you in something.
Did you get anybody?
Victoria Jackson was the main one.
This was UPN.
Oh, man. Victoria Jackson is your sun in the middle of your solar system.
She's
a light whale.
Bought it. Hook, line, and sinker, man. She did it.
You have like 2 degrees of separation from Victoria Jackson.
Yeah, so no, we tried all kinds of people like that. And Amanda Bynes was one of the weirdest ones because most of them are, they're almost overlisted. Like, if you're a big star, you're hard to get to because you have to be a big movie company to get to them. But these lower-level people, they want to be found. Like, Steve Guttenberg, for instance, was in a friend of mine's thing. Like, he's just like, sure, I'll do it. Pay me $5,000. I'll show up for a day, you know?
Wow.
And he does it. And this stuff's usually terrible. But you got Steve Guttenberg in it. So Michael Richards was one we really tried for. And Amanda Bynes, man, she was so far off the map. I was looking at interviews with her about where she's, you know, what circle she was running in. It was hard to watch interviews with her. She was clearly drug fried and so young. That's what's so strange about it. I mean, she's in her prime, and you can tell it's not all clicking.
Well, I mean, a certain percentage of humans have mental illness, and a certain percentage of people just kind of go crazy. Mm-hmm. So when you have extra help to go crazy, like all that attention when you're young and drugs and, you know?
Yeah, if you can do no wrong, which celebrities, everybody around them just is hanging on and telling them how great they are all the time. They can make no bad choices.
Tell me about it.
Make mo bad choices.
Yeah,
both.
You make mo.
Welcome to my world.
Man, isn't it all relative? You just said Steve Guttenberg made $5,000 to show up for one day, and I was like, aw, that's sad.
Right.
As if I wouldn't kill for
that's
that.
That's not sad. He does that probably 4 or 5 times in a year in the movies you've never heard of.
You know who's the king of that is Nicolas Cage. He's making way more than 5,000.
Yeah.
He's making, I'm not kidding, probably 5 movies, 10 movies a year. They're all awful.
Mm-hmm.
He admits they're awful. He says, I do it for the money. I've spent most of my money on like dinosaurs and Elvis hair. And he's
a crazy guy.
Yeah. He is.
Yeah, he does cost more than 5,000. But if you, somebody like, you know who else was on that list for a long time? William Shatner, surprisingly. You could get him for like 7,000 a day. But the thing is, for most of these people, unless you're getting them for a day, you literally shoot what their part is in one day and then they go home. Well, that's pretty cheap for the producer, but usually you can't do it in a day. So these guys are making what a normal salary is in a year for a week's work.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy.
Was William Shatner just completely irrelevant until they rebooted Star Trek and then he could kind of do press and be like, remember whenever I was Captain Kirk?
He had a television show. Oh, shoot, I can't remember.
Is it Hooker?
Yes. That was pretty successful.
Yeah.
He was always, I don't think he ever really went away.
Oh, I just mean, like, that's when I remember him coming back into the lexicon, was whenever they rebooted that, and then it was like, suddenly he was on TV all the time, and he was all offended that they didn't ask him to be in the movie, but Leonard Nimoy had done the second one, and it was
sometime between the early 2000s, and I think 2009 was when the new Star Trek movie came out, that's when he was cheap. After that, he got more expensive because he started doing all those, like, Travelocity ads and stuff again.
When I was going to put on GloverCon, we were really serious about it, and we were looking for celebrities, and we got a list. And I was shocked at how inexpensive most of these people were.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Like, you can get a fairly big B actor And if you just pay all of their expenses in, they just work for their $20 per autograph.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, maybe $3,000-$4,000 to fly them in and put them up. And
especially newer actors that are in the big show that's on right now. Well, if you didn't know them before that show, they signed a crappy contract just to get on TV or to get in whatever modern movie is being made right now. So they're making more money doing the conventions than they are the actual show that they're on.
Welcome back, guys. Happy Friday. I was literally sitting here waiting for the song to not suck, and it just never did. So no, I just had to start
all
talking.
Instrumental ELO right there.
Rach, you speak, Dave. What do you think the circled item is?
Let's see. Best Buddhism. Best buddies?
No.
Best bud.
Can I tell you why I love that song, though? Because I've always pictured a whole Muppet music video to it, because it's a really goofy kind of bad song. If you put Muppets dancing to it, it's gonna be pretty good.
Beat Bud Light.
I don't know. Really bothers me when I write something down. I have no idea what it means.
Do you assume it was genius and now you can't remember it?
Duh.
Man, I don't know why I'm thinking about this. Maybe it's because we were talking about Aesop's Fables and stuff like that in the last segment. Did either of you ever see the animated Legend of Sleepy Hollow from like the 40s?
I don't think so.
Mm-mm.
It might have been Disney. I don't think it was.
I think I did see it because it scared the crap out of me.
I know. I was just, for whatever reason, reminded of the animation, and just the name Ichabod Crane stresses me out.
Back then, they were unflinchingly unafraid to be dark.
Yeah. I don't know if it was Disney exactly, but it was an animated film in the same vein.
No,
super weird.
That effed me up pretty bad because I had the book Sleepy Hollow, and I didn't read it because but it had the headless horse, you know, just like a real fine line drawing of the headless horseman and Ichabod Crane, and I knew it was scary. But then I saw that opus. Yeah, that.
It was like they knew that, well, that's a scary story, so we got to make it scary on film. They weren't thinking about audience
the
at
children.
All.
The children.
No. I mean, there were so many cartoons from my childhood. So when I was like 10 years old, it was 1974, and they would play these cartoons from like the 30s, 40s, and 50s that were just bizarre. They just made no sense. They were so dark and so weird, and they'd put them in between Bugs Bunnies.
Oh, yeah. They'd have sequences where characters would be in hell and stuff. You remember that?
Yes.
They'd have weird dances and dark
stuff. I'd be sitting there eating my alphabet cereal like, is anyone else seeing this? Like,
did it really affect you, though? Because it went over my head.
Oh, no,
I would
it
watch
really
it and
did.
Just be like, well, I don't know what this is.
No, it bothered me. I've always been really sensitive to things like that. Like, I'm way more afraid of something that doesn't make sense to me than I am like, oh, this makes sense and it's terrifying. Something like that. Like, I've told Rage, the first 20 minutes of the Pokemon movie, the first one, is like the worst 20 minutes of my whole life. I was sitting there with Nick watching, and I knew what Pokemon was, but I wasn't into like the canon. And the first 20 minutes, it's just nothing but
movie rules.
Nuts.
Is it stuff for people who know what it is, and that's what shocked you?
The beginning of the Pokemon movie starts out by introducing us to Mewtwo, who is the most powerful Pokemon. And I could see if you had no idea what Pokemon was, being a little creeped out by him.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, especially as like an adult, and it was made for, at the time, small kids.
Yeah.
And it was just, Pokemon's weird. I think if I were to, I don't know, there's a part of me that just instinctually loves it, so I don't know if I would be drawn to it now, but as a kid, I remember the first time seeing an episode and being like, well, life is different now. This is awesome.
Yeah. I don't know why we got on this topic last night, but me and Nick and Phoebe were talking, and I told the story about when I took Nick to see a movie, and the trailer of Small Soldiers came on. He was about 5, and he just goes, let's go. And we got up and left during the trailer, and we didn't go back to the theater for like 3 or 4 years. And he said, not only do I remember that, I remember the image. There was one image of one character from Small Soldiers that was just like life-ending.
Mm.
Like, okay, I never want to see anything on the screen again. Let's just go.
So I'm assuming you're not a horror movie fan even now.
Me? Oh, I love it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, because you know it's going to be scary and that's okay?
I think Dave's more disturbed by the bizarre and the weird than actual
So, like,
horror.
Druggy movies would really creep you out because they're all over the place.
There's an animated movie from, I feel like it was the early 70s, and it's a French film. It's called Fantastic Planet.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, it's another planet, and these giant alien beings learn everything through hypnosis and meditation, and they're very large, and they keep human beings as pets, and humans kind of act like animals, too. It's really cool.
This now.
The animation is beautiful, but it's really trippy. I think it would probably mess Dave up permanently.
It would.
Did you see A Scanner Darkly?
No.
You know what it is.
That would have messed you up a little bit.
Fantasia messed me up really bad as a kid because I was just like, what's happening? There didn't seem like there was a plot. Yeah, and it was just
Isn't there a crazy scene from Dumbo?
Yeah. There's a lot of...
There's a scary one in Pinocchio.
Yep.
You know what I'm talking about.
All of Pinocchio's terrible.
Man. Yeah, that's true.
I hated Alice in Wonderland. I mean, now as an adult, I look at it and I think, wow, that's so creative and incredible. But it scared me as a kid.
I remember distinctly being at the Saturday matinee to watch Willy Wonka. And during the scene on the boat, looking to the kids, my friends, to my right and left, like, am I the only one that sees...
There's a centipede.
Maggots?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, amazing gobstopper. I'm like, dead bodies?
I wouldn't watch Willy Wonka after the first time I saw it because the boat scene stressed me out so bad.
Yeah.
It was real. And the Oompa Loompas, they just seem like they could attack at any time. They're not there to be your friend. That's a fact.
No, they're there to take your dead carcass away.
Yeah. Well, speaking of...
Plus, Uncle Joe's a bag of S.
Yeah, he is.
You mean Grandpa Joe?
Yeah, Grandpa Joe.
Speaking of creepy Disney movies, have you guys heard the latest Disney scandal, the latest gossip?
I don't know.
Stan Lee's daughter, I think her name is Julie Lee, but forgive me if I'm getting that wrong, has released a statement with the whole, like, Marvel and Sony are fighting over the rights to Spider-Man right now, and it seems like everyone's siding with Marvel and Disney. She came out and said, no one has ever treated my dad, Stan Lee, worse than Marvel and Disney.
Wow.
I'm on Sony's side.
Wow.
Yeah, so Spider-Man's going to be out of the Marvel Universe.
Mm-hmm.
In the future, everything from here on out is going to be not part of the canon anymore?
Yeah.
Wow.
I just thought that was interesting because people seem to be pretty up Disney's butt in general. Sorry for the crude analogy there, but it really does seem like they can do absolutely no wrong. She said whenever he passed away, no one from the company reached out to her or anything. They made like billions of dollars off of Stan Lee.
That's disgusting.
It kind of is, yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad.
It's kind of a bad business decision because now she's out there slandering
him. Even if you don't like him.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, by the way, cannibal update. I told you about that article.
Yeah, tell us why cannibalism is good.
Well, I told you, but you were saying, like, where is this from? Some crazy third, fourth source?
I assumed
Newsweek.
It was from... Oh, wow. Okay.
I know. It was from Newsweek. In praise of cannibalism.
Come on. That's so stupid.
All right.
So what keeps us... Okay. Real question. Pretty much mimicking the article. What keeps us from it? If there were no religion... Do you think that we would be more open to cannibalism?
Is it religion that says don't eat people?
That's what I'm asking. Like, is that just something that most humans know? Because we haven't known it over the millennia.
I mean, do you think it sounds appetizing?
No.
I don't know that anybody would.
But I understand the same way they say, like, look, if we just embraced insects, we wouldn't have to worry about hunger ever again. But we, for the most part, won't. I understand... The concept of, we have a bunch of meat in the form of dead bodies. If we just open up our mind to eating them, we wouldn't be hungry anymore. You don't have to worry about this.
I don't think it's religion that keeps us from eating each other. I think it's basic human connection. I think it's, oh my gosh, my loved one is gone forever. I'm never going to see them again.
What if it was somebody you didn't know?
But let me finish what I was saying. The thought of giving up their body for someone that I didn't know to eat... You know what I mean? And then if I'm meeting a stranger, this is somebody's aunt, this is somebody's daughter, and I'm consuming them, they had a whole life. So I think it's just the fact that, you know, it's one thing if you're starving and you're on the mountain and there's no other way. I don't really judge people who go that route when someone passes away, but I don't know. I think it's just the knowledge of you're consuming something that once had a soul that messes people up.
Well, that would be key to the religion aspect is if you believe that people have souls.
Or it'd be like, well, why don't you just eat your dog whenever it dies? Because you had a relationship with the dog.
True.
You had a back and forth and a connection. So maybe not the soul, but there was a connection there. The reason why it's easy to eat a chicken leg from Sam's or whatever is because I never met that chicken and I don't have any special chickens in my life. Maybe that's wrong, but that's how I feel.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.